Good evening, Father's House family, and welcome to our Valentine's Day relationship panel. This is part two of our relationship series that we are running for the month of February in the evening service, and we're so excited to unpack the conversation further. We began it last week with Damien and his panel of Jackson, Jess, and Niku, really putting in the foundation of what it means to have God in every relationship of our life, God as the foundation for all relationships, how our relationship with God is impacted through what Jesus did for us on the cross, and how God is all of God, Father, and friend to us. And tonight, with it being Valentine's Day, we will unpack relationships from a romantic perspective and God's influence in that. With me to do that this evening, I have Andrew and Nikki Peterson, as well as Thomas DeBlanche and his beautiful girlfriend, Celine Marcus. Good evening, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's so lovely to have you all. I'm going to get straight into the questions. And Andrew, I'd like to start with you, because you took the Father's House end of year dream team party in 2017 by storm. When 40 days into your relationship with Nikki P, she wasn't Nikki P at the time. You got down on your knee in front of 200 of our dream team and asked her to be your wife.
Yeah.
And the question I want to ask is, how did you know she was the one? And is there such thing as a one? Because I think we have this sort of myth or misconception in Christian circles that what if I missed out on the one, or what if I chose the wrong one? And is there some predestined right girl or right guy for me? And what if I choose correctly? And then we use that almost as an excuse to abdicate our responsibility in a relationship. She wasn't really the one, or he wasn't really the one. Is there such thing as that? How did you know to love Nikki?
No pressure.
I think first of all, one has to look at the context. I was 39, which means that I was kind of desperate. No, I agree with what you're saying. The idea of asking yourself if that actually exists, the concept of the one, if that actually exists. And for me personally, the one should be, the focus should be on yourself. Am I being the one?
That's great.
So as much as it's important that the person that you end up with, that you guys are able to be in a cohesive kind of relationship where you guys actually complement each other, which I think is quite important, you have to also focus on yourself. And am I, because it's quite a responsibility taking on a relationship, first of all, but then marriage, of course, is next level. Am I able to do this? Am I, as a man, able to fulfill all the roles required of me?
Yeah.
And if you have an inward focus as opposed to focusing on the other person, I think you'll find out that you have a lot more shortcomings that you need to work on, rather than trying to see if the other person checks your list. I mean, do you check the lists?
Sure. Yeah, that's great.
And with that said, I mean, I said I was 39 at the time, and I did have a lot of time to think, and I did spend a lot of time introspection and asking myself those questions, working on myself. Not saying that I was perfect at the time, but I definitely was quite aware of who I was and who I was bringing to the table.
Yeah, that's great.
You know? So I think there's more wisdom in that.
Yeah, we'd had conversations even before you got married and subsequent to how you've given me advice then as a married man about how you don't become a husband when you get to the altar. I think this is what you're talking about. You developed within yourself a character of being husband, inwardly looking at yourself rather than, does Nikki tick all my boxes? Do I tick the boxes of being the man that I want to be for the woman that I'm praying for?
Yeah.
And then you could be outward focused. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, I mean, I think there are many sermons and many... One of such was a sermon that Pastor George shared in his sermon. He spoke about a guy that approached him and he said, this girl that he is looking for needs to have all of these things must have a degree. And then he's like, okay. So why would a girl like that want to be with you? You
know, so
brutal.
So it is wise to, as opposed to looking at this list that this person needs to fulfill, rather do I fulfill the list that a potential suitor and someone like the person that you know you're in love with, would you be able to deliver?
And then just to follow on to that, Andrew, we had also spoken before the panel about how you would make the same choice again. So how you would choose to propose to Nikki again and again and again.
Yes.
And I think, like, how do we know if it's the person is the one? You said that it's you choose that she is the person over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I think to try to answer that question in such a short space of time probably isn't possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you start courting the person, first of all, there has to be some kind of a spark. Mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be something. It shouldn't be forced.
I think also just if I can interject here, it's also about intention. So when we met, I mean, Andrew's already mentioned he was 39. I was 29. And we both, when we met and started talking, before we even decided to start dating, we very quickly realized that we were on the same page about what we wanted in our futures. So, like, where are you at in your life? Okay, I'm here. I personally was like, I'm done collecting ex-boyfriends. I don't want to just date. Like, I'll be your friend. I want to get married. Like, that's where I'm at. So, and then we really quickly realized we were on that same page. And that made a huge difference. And that's maybe why our timeline was so short. So everyone else is like, whoa, it was so whirlwind and so quick. And there were a lot of, I mean, there was no negativity, actually, to be honest, from our church circles and families. Everyone was really supportive and really encouraging. But obviously, when people hear our story, they're a little bit like, oh my gosh. But I think that whole concept of, like, is this person the one? It's like, am I, like what Andrew's just been saying, am I ready to be the one? And also, can I see myself joining lives with this person? Do we want the same things? Are we headed in the same direction? And for us, having met at church, it was just really great to know that we were both, we found each other in the right place. Yeah.
There were, I agree 100% with you. I like the idea that, you know, when we met, I think the speed of our relationship was the speed of us coming to the to that point where we both realize that this person, we're speaking the same language, if I can put it that way. There were certain non-negotiables for me, and I think the same for Nikki. There were certain things that I knew in my mind that the person that I would end up with would have these few things. I didn't have to have like a whole long list. It was just certain things that this person, when she spoke and when I spoke, it just blended. It just like this pattern just formed. And when that picture came together, I was like, okay, what's the next natural step for me is that. I mean, I didn't want to date. I didn't need to have a long relationship for 6 months or 8 months or longer than two months for that matter, which turned out to be 40 days.
40 days is such a biblical number, you know? Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, Moses spent 40 days at Mount Sinai. 40 days is...
It was quite intentional, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's a story, a backstory for another day, but it was quite intentional. So when I did the math and I realized that this is where we're at, 40 days, it's like this makes, this forms, or all falls into place, put it that way.
Yeah. You guys, Nikki, you said something that... even though people might hear your story now, they'll ask, oh, 40 days, but your church family and the people who knew you well were all gave thumbs up. And I think it is funny how Andrew was in a grow group with your brother and you guys didn't know each other. And it, what gave everybody a sense of peace was that we knew Andrew's character and we knew Nikki's character and we were like, oh, this makes sense. And that speaks to the character of what you were developing. How do you know that someone's the one? Or you actually develop yourself. I become the one and then I choose. And so I guess a question to ask to everyone watching is, what is one area that you have identified in your heart, or maybe you can be prayerful about it, what is one area that you'd like to really develop in you so that you are a better partner in a relationship, be it a friendship relationship or a romantic relationship? Is it your patience? Is it your willingness to listen? Whatever it may be, I think that's great. Nikki? I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the whirlwind a little bit. So I imagine it must have been a bit of a whirlwind experience getting proposed to after 40 days, just the getting to know Andrew and getting engaged and planning a wedding. How do we trust God when life feels like a bit of a whirlwind? This is obviously a good thing, but how do you take stock and, like, is this from God, or how do you do that?
Well, I think that the important thing to remember is that timing is not the same for God as it is for us on earth. And we have loads of examples of where we're reminded of that. And sometimes things can, we like to compartmentalize things as humans because we like to make meaning out of things. So we create these rules or these parameters for ourselves of what is a socially acceptable amount of time for a certain thing. And I think as much as that's healthy in some regards, because obviously we can't just be being spontaneous all the time and we need to be prayerful and we need to seek wise counsel and all of that. But I think God's timing and God's timelines, things can happen overnight sometimes. And as long as, like, the one fundamental thing is you have to just be close to God, because God will give you the peace. And you spoke earlier about that sense of peace. And for me, that was everything. Like, like I mentioned earlier, I was 29 at the time. I'd actually just moved home from living overseas for 4 years. So for 4 years of my life, I was kind of in this traveling mode where you're not necessarily grounded the whole time, because you can be anyone you want to be, and you're interacting with people from all over the different parts of the world with different cultures and different sets of normal. You need to be grounded in who you are in God.
That's great.
And what God's path is for your life. That keep coming back to the sense of just that, who you are in God, what God wants for your life, and what God's timing is for where you're at in your life. And that's for me how I think you can really stay grounded in something that can feel quite whirlwindy. And I think, to be honest, whether you get engaged in 40 days or 4 years, I think that whole time of being in love and falling in love, it's always going to feel whirlwind. You know, when you go from the decision of being a friend with someone to suddenly dating and then getting engaged, I think it does. It feels like a movie. Yeah. I remember when Andrew proposed to me. That evening, which was at the Dream Team party, I had absolutely no idea that he was going to propose that evening. Even though we'd actually been shopping for rings already, except when we were shopping for rings, I was like, "Oh, this is fun! This is like ring shop, you know, just like play." Like, I just thought, like, "Yeah, so I know that I'm going to marry this guy eventually because we decided that on the day we decided to date." But I had absolutely no idea that he was going to propose that evening. So I felt in that moment like I was in a movie. It felt so surreal. I was like, oh my goodness, this is a movie moment, and I'm the princess in the story. Like, wow. So I think whirlwind gets a bad reputation because I think we are allowed to be swept up in a whirlwind.
Yeah.
That's what the moments in movies are made of. You know, that's what every girl actually dreams of. Yeah. Like, we do want to be swept off our feet by Prince Charming, but it's just about being close enough to God to know when God gives you the peace that this is right.
Sure,
so a whirlwind will feel turbulent if there's no peace in it from God.
Yeah.
But it can feel beautiful and exciting and romantic and like a princess movie where it's got peace as well.
Yeah. That's great. I think you both spoke about earlier, you knew who you were before you met one another. So you were grounded in your relationship with God and in your own character. So when you met, it was like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
It's the marriage is a picture of Christ's relationship with the church.
Yeah.
We have absolute peace and absolute assurance of our salvation because God doesn't change his mind about us.
I think so.
Husbands, we're called to love our wives as Christ loves the church. So that's the church knows, our wives should know exactly where they stand. They are loved, they are adored, they are cared for, regardless of where they're at. So I think what you're saying is very true. Nikki, you spoke about trusting God in those whirlwind moments. And Tom, I just wanted to come to you again about you saying you know Celine is the one and this peace that comes from knowing. But there's also this period of learning to trust God. You were single for a while before you met Celine, and you had friends around you getting engaged and getting married. And then you met Celine, and you might have this peace that tells you this is the one, but there's still a trusting and pursuing process before you actually ask her. So it's not quite the whirlwind, but there's a similar principle of how it's you're knowing that she's the one, but then you're choosing it over and over again over a period of time. Does that make sense? How do you trust God in that period? Even before meeting Celine and now that you're dating her and having that conviction to still choose her.
Yeah, so I think there's two elements to your question when you're speaking about the wait. There's the wait before relationship, and then there's the wait during the relationship for the next level, which in our context obviously would be, and I say our context, the Christian context, which would be marriage. There's a funny story, if I may, before I even chat about those two broad concepts or those two broad issues. Let's call it context, it's not issues at all. Is that I had Celine's number on my phone for about 2 years, right? A year and a half, 2 years. It's a very long story. I don't think we have time to speak about that now. But I had that number dormant for about a year and a half, 2 years. We can say, there's a Christian word called kairos, God's appointed time. Very deep Christian word, but it just means God's appointed time. And I really think we started speaking at God's appointed time. It was very random that we had started speaking. And I think that's what the idea of relationships or in the weight looks like. It is appointed time. And appointed time sometimes seems very random. Now, there was no holy moment, no super spiritual moment. There was no dream. I had no prophetic word spoken out against on me about the possible pursuit of Celine's relationship. But looking back over the last sort of year and a half of courting her, and before that, looking back, one realizes that there were definitely kairos moments of us entering into relationships or into our relationship. I think before, so let's deal with the idea of the wait or before us getting into relationship. I'd been in a previous relationship and there were multiple things which I did before I actually decided to go into a real formal relationship once again. And this is from my personal experience, and I think it may or may not be able to assist other people. I think dating within Christian circles as a point of departure is often very awkward. Mm. It's often sometimes super spiritual. Sometimes people don't want to date because of various pressures that come with that. And before I started dating her, like I said, I was in a previous relationship. I first decided to heal from that particular relationship or from issues within that particular relationship. But then after I felt like I had progressed in my healing process, I decided, okay, maybe I should put my feelers out there. I mean, play the field, as it were. And so Christians don't, at least from my experience, Christians in certain spaces sort of frown upon the idea of going on coffee dates. And I decided, you know what, I'm gonna try this thing. I'm gonna try a coffee date. And so I tried my first coffee date. It was so important for me to go on that coffee date because I would use the particular words that I would use with Celine a year and a half or 2 years later in our first date. Wow. So I went to this date, to cut a very long story short again. I said, it's such a great thing to have a connect with you. You know, Christians like using particular terminologies. We want to be safe. We don't want to use the word date. And so then the lady responded, oh, you're calling a date a connect? We didn't go on another date, and it wasn't because of the connect. But that term stuck with me because then I realized in future, when I do go on a date with someone again, I'm going to call it a date. I'm going to make my intentions very clear. Sure. I wanted to be gray so that I wouldn't face a possible rejection. So I'll call it connect.
Don't friendzone
yourself. So that I don't friendzone myself. So that was that as part of my sort of waiting process. I pursued someone and of course, this is no offense to anyone. I pursued someone and had been rejected by the person multiple times. I'm still friends with the person, but I learned the art of accepting rejection. And I think Christian guys, I'm not, and this is just my point of view from my perspective, I think we fear rejection because of what might happen in our Christian circles. Because we might say, oh, did you know Thomas got rejected by this person? Yeah. And we sort of think, we have fear and we think there's a comedic issue around that. But if you ask someone out on a date or if you the next level asking someone out for a relationship or marriage, you must be okay with rejection. Yeah. And so my multiple rejections with this particular person made me confident enough when I had entered into a relationship with Celine that I would be clear from the get-go because these were my intentions. And I don't fear rejection. from a particular person anymore because I've experienced rejection. And so I think I would like to encourage Christian guys specifically, if you really, if you like someone, and you think I'd like to get to know this person at the basic level. Mm. Ask that person out on a coffee date. If the person refuses, it's fine. You'll just move on. Mm. If the person doesn't refuse, don't call it a connect. Call it a date. But then that had passed, and then months later, randomly, I think we started chatting. Now, so I mentioned about a Kairos moment. Sometimes things seem very random. If you use biblical examples, and I'm going to take it out of the context of relationships, right? David takes bread to his brothers, random task, and then there's Goliath, and then he takes out Goliath. The random task was taking bread.
Sure.
Saul, his predecessor, would become the first king of Israel, went looking out for his dad's lost donkey, bumped into a prophet by the name of Samuel. Samuel anointed him as the king of Israel, the next king of Israel. The point is that it doesn't have to be a holy moment. It can be a great moment. It can be a dream. It can be a prophetic word. But I think for us, we had just started chatting. And once we started chatting, I realized, I think I really like this girl. And although when I first saw her, I immediately liked her because there was something special about her. But the Kairos, or the God-appointed time, allowed us to go through whatever we needed to go through, right? So that we could start chatting at a random moment.
Yeah.
And so the spiritual moment, I mean, the chatting may have seemed very random, but I think it was very spiritual because there was a God-appointed time. Had I chatted to her 6 months before that, sure, it wouldn't have been God appointed.
Yeah.
Because she was in a different relationship. Sorry,
it's just three years.
But the point is, so the second part in the wait is that there are certain things that there's practical things and there's spiritual things. So myself and Selena are getting to know each other. There's three ideas that I think that should be centered around relationships. Number one, am I attracted to the person? I mean, there's various Greek forms for the word love, and we have a Greek pastor, so I don't want to embarrass myself in mispronouncing the proper words. But am I attracted to the person initially? I'm attracted to Celine. Do I feel at home with the person? Do we have a friendship type of love? Can she become my best friend? Can I become her best friend? And is there a sort of united purpose? And so these three things are sort of bedrocked on compatibility. And if I think our purposes should be primarily rooted in Jesus,
yes,
and then other elements which we'll, as we court, we'll realize whether or not we are compatible for marriage or not compatible for marriage, etc.
Yeah, that's great. So much meat in there to unpack.
Sure.
One thing you said early on, actually, you spoke about how you might be disinclined to ask a girl out for coffee or go on a date because of expectations, especially particularly in the Christian circles. You spoke about this fear of rejection. I think that's often a pride issue, and I think you were able to overcome it. And even Andrew could ask boldly after 40 days because he was confident in his character in Christ. That's first and foremost where you got your sense of belonging. So whether you had a girl or not, that was where you were rooted. But Celine, I wanted to ask you about those expectations. I mean, dating, even in a Christian context, you would have, over the last 18 months, received countless questions on when is Thomas proposing, or like, when is your surname changed? I almost introduced you as my sister Blanche. And that's all wonderful because we're excited for you. We're your friends. We love you. We want you to be happy. But how do you manage these expectations in a healthy manner?
So there's expectations. There's always like external expectations. And then you've also got like your internal expectations of ourselves. But I mean, especially in the church, there's always the expectation of where's this going? When is this relationship like progressing? And I think the way to sort of manage those expectations is you just need to be aware that there's only two people in the relationship.
Yeah.
There's not myself, Thomas, and the church. Well, I mean, there's myself, Thomas, and God, but not myself, Thomas, and the church. So when those questions do come up, and I mean, most times it's people who don't know the sort of discussions that's happening internally.
So you just need to be aware of that and almost block out those voices. I mean, obviously have your trusted advisors, have your accountability buddies. But yeah, I don't think we necessarily need to put focus on other people's expectations of where the relationship is going. I know the church has sometimes unhealthily placed emphasis on marriage. And Jackie Perry, she once mentioned in an interview that she found that the church rejoiced more in her marriage than they did in her salvation.
Sure.
So I think we just need to be cognizant of the fact that the only people in the relationship is myself, my partner, and God. And that's how we make our decisions, based on prayer, based on the word of God.
So good.
And what God is saying. And then there's also obviously our own expectations of where the relationship is going and the direction that it's going in. And also like your day-to-day expectations. And that, I think, we manage through an open line of communication.
Yeah.
And if there are unmet expectations, you sort of think, like, is it something I'm willing to compromise on? Or is it a deal breaker? And if it is a deal breaker, then, I mean, while you're in the dating phase, obviously this doesn't apply to married people. While you're in the dating phase, you can call it off if it's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Yes, that's good.
Because, your partner's in Jesus, so your expectations won't always be met.
Can I, taking my shoes away a deal breaker or not picking up my shoes a deal breaker? You're gonna ask that on.
I think if I can maybe just say on that very point, it's very important for us to know that marriage is like a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
So the issues that you have as a single person, the issues that you have, or those things, forget being in a dating relationship, the issues that you are struggling with, stuff that you haven't had discipline or haven't formed the discipline in, marriage will kind of create this magnifying glass on those issues. If you have a problem with gambling, if you have a problem with not saving or spending your money before you get it, if it's pornography or any of those kinds of things, marriage is not going to fix those things. Mm. It will simply take those things and just expose them. Mm. And it's probably going to be catastrophic. I think a lot of the times people use marriage to think, you know what, if we're married, it will be better. Mm. And once you're married, if we have a kid, it's going to get better. Mm. Those things, having a child once you're married, will again just make whatever you're struggling with now just so much bigger. If you're having issues in your marriage, adding something else is just going to, highlight the problem. So,
I think that's so great. I mean, there's so much to talk about. That, what you've just said about how it speaks back to what you spoke about earlier, but being first sorting out yourself, looking inwardly, sorting that out, your own character, so that you can serve outwardly. Guys, we're probably out of time now, but I feel like we could chat for the whole rest of the day and into the rest of the year about these topics. So grateful for all of you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom and your contribution. I hope that's been really beneficial to all of you listening. I'm prayerful that this will have really helped you to get some language and to unpack some thoughts and prayers in your own heart. And we look forward to seeing you next week for week 3 of our relationship series. Have a good evening. Goodbye.